Hi, and welcome to Parent Talk Hashtag with Bev, a Black British mother living in the UK with her two, I keep saying children, they're always going to be my children, but they're now 20 and 18, so things have changed. And yes, I've been quiet for a while because I have been burnt out and I just needed to rebalance myself. I've been busy doing this, that, and everything and the other. And sometimes you just need some time to reflect, think, and try and figure out where you're going next. So, that said, I've been interviewing. I've got a couple of interviews that I will release. And also, I think as well, I've tried to stay away from having a comment on some of the stuff about young people and the COVID vaccination. I'll do a whole podcast around that later, but I've come here tonight because I have the house to myself and I'm not going to get interrupted so I can talk for a little while. But don't worry, I'm not going to go on forever and ever. Today, I'm just going to be talking about, you know, some of us, our kids are going to be going off to university. Or they've gone back to school. But specifically, I just wanted to talk about university, to be truthful. Now, my youngest did really well. So I'll start off by telling you what I'm going through before I go into advice or suggestions and all the rest of it. So my youngest did very well in her A-levels, which a lot of kids did. Kudos to them for doing exceptionally well during a pandemic year where teaching was a bit, teaching was available. It was online as well as in person. And a lot of parents, you've been taking the full brunt of that as well by trying to do stuff at home with the children, or just trying to navigate your way through an ever-changing landscape of information about what's happening and what's not happening, and what can happen this week and what's going to happen next week. Anyway, going to university, let me just try and stay on track, okay? So my youngest did really well. When she applied for universities, she wasn't really interested in going. She was like, the thing that really interested her was leaving home and having student life, which great. But I think she didn't really believe in her own abilities. She got 2 A stars and an A in her A levels. And she didn't anticipate that. She didn't trust that the work that she was putting in would get her these kind of results. And I'm really pleased for her. But as a consequence, she applied for a degree that it was all right, but it wasn't really her first love. You understand? So when she got the grades above and beyond what they were asking for, she then said, well, actually, I don't want to study that degree. Now, I had to bite my lip because I was like, when you was trying to choose the degree, was this really what you wanted? And you were like, yeah, this is what I wanted. Ad lib, 17, 18 year old girl. And I was like, well, if this is what you really want to do and this is the university you want to do it at, you know, go for it. So anyway, she got the offer. She got the grades and then they made the offer confirmed. And then there was the dilemma of, actually, if you don't want to do that degree and it's not a course that you want to do, why am I going to pressure you as a parent to actually do it? Just to say, oh, I've got another daughter going to university, or I've got a child going to university. You know, the idea is great, but the reality is something else. And if you're really not in it, you're not in it. And so it's going to be hard. Studying at that level, especially from A level, is a big jump. 70% of your time is really you doing the study and, you know, independent learning, they call it. And with COVID and different regulations that have come in, you know, some lecturers are not even having as many lectures as they used to. They're just deciding we'll go online and do a lecture online. And if your child is not that way of a persuasion to sit down in front of a Zoom to do a lecture and then, you know, ask questions, it's asking them to open up hell and step into it, as far as I'm concerned. The other reason why I was like, there's no point me forcing her to go, even though she's got a place, was that if you start the degree and you get into difficulties with the subject and you're not really feeling it and you're not loving it, it's far easier for you to give up and decide, I'm not going to do this degree, and that studying at that level is not for me. And then you're going to basically waste a year of funding, student finance, that you're going to have to pay back for a year. And it's an expensive lesson, you know, and some of us, we've got to go through the expensive lessons. However, I was just like, there is no way that I want to force this child to take the place, even though she has it. So we called up admin, the administration office, and we spoke to them about our dilemma. As luck would have it, the degree, she wanted to do a biomedical degree. And they basically said that all the places are full. And so I was like, well, even if she starts the degree and then a space becomes available, can she hop over onto that degree? And they were like, the likelihood is no. I think if it was a different degree, maybe, because people do drop out within the first term. However, I had to think about what she'd miss a lot of work. Then she'd have the pressure of trying to catch up as well as keep up. And it's already a pressurized learning environment. So did I really want her to do that? And would it have been better for her to defer? Now, when you've been offered a firm place at a university, your child can defer the year. That means not go for the year that they applied, but have a place for the following year. And so the advice was she should defer her place, which she did. And they said to her, you know, early September, write in, email in using this email address and say that you want to change your degree from that course to the biomedical science. So as a parent, you know, you advise, you suggest, you coach, you nag. And so come the 1st of September, I was like, have you done the email? No, I haven't done it. About a few days later, have you done it yet? No, I haven't done it. A few days later, have you done it yet? No, I haven't done it. And you're nagging me. And, you know, I'll do it. I'll get round to it. Don't worry about it. And I was like, I do worry about it. But since you seem to have, you know, you feel, you know, then I waited about 3 more days. And I said, have you done it now? You know, we did get into a few heated arguments, not even arguments, just basically, I know when to step away, or I'd like to think I do. And to cut a long story short, she got round to it in her own good time. And they got back to her within a couple of days and said, really sorry, but we've allocated all the deferred places and you're late, you're too late. So I was left with a distraught young adult, just wanting to cry, well, probably crying, doing all, because I was at work when she emailed and told me this. And she was like, there's no point going to university, you know, blah, you know, what's the point, blah, blah, blah. And they said this and they didn't do it and da, da, da. If I tell you, parents, that I was angry, I was mad. You know, when you tell your children, do this thing, and it's not like it's for your benefit, it's for their benefit, and they just ignore you and let it just slide until you get to a point where it's either lastminute.com or you've missed the opportunity, you've missed the boat. And I was so angry, and I know that if I came home, what was going to transpire wouldn't have been pleasant, because we would have got into a heated argument. I would have said things that I know I would regret. So what I did, I decided that I was going to run away and I wasn't coming home. And that's exactly what I did. I went and visit a friend. I talked to somebody else that I know who's in admissions for another university. They calmed me down. I called my friend and went off on her. And she was like, B, I totally understand, you know, but You know, she's going to have to learn the hard way. It is her life. She's 18 now. And I just let off. And I think it was healthy for me to do that away from home. By the time I eventually came home, my daughter had gone roller skating. So that really meant she was going to be coming home late anyway. So it gave me more time. And when we did see each other, which was early in the morning, I was calm by that time and just was like, let me just leave it alone, which is what I did. I left it alone because the reality is if she wants to go to university, she's got to really want it. And if she wants it, she's going to have to make the action towards it. I can put people around to help support her. Like, the next day when we were in the kitchen and she was like, I'm going to just reapply for next year. So I'll do the UCAS application all over again. I might need help with my personal statement. And I was like, well, your teacher will still help you, because they really, really, really like you and they'll do that, so I'm sure you've still got relationships with them. So they'll help you. And I said, and if you really are at a loose end, I have a friend who works at university who would also help. And I said, I support you, but I've printed out some stuff for you. That's my level of support, right? Internet research, print it out, bring it home, give it to her. And the rest is going to be down to her. I think having that 24 hours of not really talking about it and both going our separate ways and having a chance to talk to our people and, she roller skate and I did whatever I did to chill. Gave us a bit of reflection, so to speak, just space to be truthful. And then she now wants to do what she's doing. And I think the hardest thing for me as a parent is to stand back and allow these things to happen, because there's a part of me that wants you to learn from my experiences and not have to do things the hard way. But sometimes our kids have to probably do things the hard way. And how I choose to support her will be the determining factor in our relationship, So I was just like, I just wanted to let you know that, I haven't been on holiday just having a real good time. I have taken some time out and, life carries on regardless of what's going on in the world. In London at the moment, all the petrol forecourts have notices, no fuel, or people are just panic buying and we don't even know what we're panic buying for. So I just think sometimes it is good just to take a little bit of a back burner before you decide how you want to move forward. And I really wanted to spend some time I didn't have a choice. I needed to spend some time focusing on what was happening in my own home with my own children. I mean, because at the end of the day, what's the point of chatting to you about what I would like to do if I'm not doing it myself? I mean, granted, it's not everything I'm going to have an experience about or an opinion about, because that's why I have guests. But you know what I'm saying? It's just time. It was just time and it was so needed. And so we're in a better place. And I'm sure that in the coming months and weeks, I will probably talk to you about this child again. And, but the reality is, she's 18. She's got to make some steps and she's got to make mistakes. And some of them, I hope, are not totally detrimental. So the other part of my spiel was that a parent sent me this poster and it's got, it says 10 tips for parents sending their children off to university. I mean, I was so looking forward to her going, let me not lie to you, because, empty nest, but I'll do a podcast about that. But I was thinking, yeah, my freedom, I'm going to be doing this, that and the other, go out here, there. Although I do go out here, there and everywhere with she's still home. But there was just a different psyche around, getting her off to university, taking her there, making sure she was settled in and all those things. But, hey ho, next year is next year. God spare my life, I'll be able to see that. But anyway, my friend sent me these top tips for parents sending their children off to university. Number one, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to read them out to you so that you get the tips. And then I've thought of about 10 of my own tips, laughing. But we'll see. You'll decide whether you want to laugh or not. So the first tip, number one, cooking. Teach them how to cook. Start with two or three simple recipes they can cook for themselves. West Indian families, our kids are cooking from 9, 10, 11, generally. I'm talking about in my house anyway, my kids were cooking from that age. They were learning basic and simple things that they could cook. It's kind of standard. We don't wait until they're going off to university to teach them that stuff. That stuff is like inbred. So I was laughing when I read that. But hey ho, number one, cooking. Number two, laundry. Teach them how to do their laundry. It's a simple and essential life skill, and it saves your own time. Again, West Indian kids, especially all those I'm around, okay, and families that I'm around, those kids have been washing their clothes from, I know some people, primary school, they're washing their personal garments, their underwear, and, you know, washing them at night when they take them off, and putting them in on a dryer or in the airing cupboard or whatever. It's like, we wouldn't even think of that because they would know how to either go to the laundromat and be able to use the machines and know how to dry or know how to sort the washing into colors and so forth and all the rest of it. So, I mean, my eldest, you know, she's at university. She's in her final year and she's got this habit. She just throws everything in the wash and it bugs the hell out of me. But you see, when her clothes start to look funkified, then I just say to her, weren't you taught how to separate? And then she says to me, Mum, you've got to pay for separating your wash at uni. And, you know, it's about the finances and the money. So you just figure out a way to put everything in one and get that done. So it's not like she doesn't know, it's her choice, okay? So anyway, number three, healthcare. Teach them where to get over-the-counter medicine and prescriptions, how to register and book a GP appointment, and how to navigate the NHS if they're unwell. Well, number one, if they're unwell, us parents will be rushing down there and helping to navigate that shit with them, okay? But over-the-counter, yes. Been doing that since, I've got girls. So once, Mother Nature came, it was about talking to them about going to the pharmacist. There are certain medications that you can use to help you if you're having specific pains. But also in our house, when you've got a cold or you're sick, we use natural remedies, which I'm not going to share with you because some of them, you know, they are from hand-me-down. But the general one is like ginger, lemon, garlic crushed in water, you know, so at the end, and in warm water, not cold water, people, so that you can get the fumes, you know, so they know about Vicks. They know about that. My kids knew about that stuff. Not because we were always sick, but it was like you needed to know and you learnt that pretty quick from their teens. Budget. This is a big one. That's number four. Plan a budget for food shopping and other essentials. Now, food shopping for home with the family is different for food shopping when you're at university and you're by yourself. Also, if you're not a child or a young adult that cooks and you're used to going out for eating and takeaways and stuff like that, and especially as we've come through a pandemic where we're not come through it, but, you know, we're still in this space where, you know, the deliveroos and people like that are making serious money because people are just eating out all the time. So, what I did with my eldest was when she got the student finance and they told her how much that she had, we divided that by the weeks that she was going to be at university, which gave her a budget. And it was this amount per week. And then with that amount per week, we looked at, well, how much would it cost for you to wash your stuff? If you joined a society, if you went out, what could be a treat? How much you would spend on food? When I went down, you know, that's Bella. Everyone, you should know Bella by now, the cat. When I went down with her to settle her in at her university, one of the things I did was we took a walk around the town to see where certain shops were and what they sold. Now, you know, we like plantain, banana, yam, and those other things. So we walked around and we spotted where places were and looked at prices. And we were talking about, is this the same kind of price that you'd get from when we were living in London, when you're living in London? And, you know, how often could you do that? So it is important to sort of try and have those conversations and even to take your kid down there. Now, they say one of their tips is, you know, drop off. Don't hang around too long when dropping them off. They need to get on and meet people and start blending in, not being worried about you. Well, for my peace of mind, then, this is selfish, I wanted to know where the shops were, and pharmacies and doctors and churches and, you know, where other entertainment might be. We talked about, we looked, we walked around, and I think that was only an afternoon or a day. And when I look at it, I'm not just throwing my child on some doorstep and leaving them. You understand? It's just not happening. I mean, even when I took my eldest back to her new place of residence, you know, I inquired at the reception about things, met a couple of people, and just basically said, I'm trusting you with my precious gift, and I'm about to watch on herself. They laughed, but they were like, no, we are really a family orientated unit here. And I was like, cool, you know what I mean? And that made me feel better. My daughter was like, oh my God, Mom, don't embarrass me. And I was like, oh, I don't really care. You know, you are my precious child. And, you know, as best as we can work things out, we will. And then I've left her. I haven't called her every day. I don't go down there. I haven't threatened anybody. I haven't parked outside and done vigil. No, I ain't done any of those things. So she should count her blessings. They said that another one was first aid. Teach them basic first aid and provide them with a small kit containing essentials. Like my kids have been doing that since they were in secondary school. They have their own. We have a medicine cabinet, and they each have their own medicine little boxes that they had developed while they were still living at home. Okay, so I wasn't too worried about that, but it's good advice. Security. Explain basic security measures, such as avoiding to use the cash point at night, protecting drinks so they don't get spiked, and how to keep their belongings safe. Ask them to download a mobile security app, such as, and they mention a particular app. I'm not mentioning it because I'm not sponsored by them to mention them, but I do remember what I did do was buy my child a safe, one of those little portable safes that she could keep all her important papers and bank stuff and documents in. And she has the combination, no one else does. And it's in her room. Now, if you want to teeth that and try and batter yourself into that to get that out, then that's more effort. And when I'm assuming that when you're thieving, it's opportunistic and you just want to get your stuff and go. We already were speaking about spiked drinks and things, you know, being safe. I mean, where I live, just down the road, a policeman abducted a woman off the street and killed her and took her to Kent. Sorry, spoiler alert, I just don't want to scare anybody. But if you're not having conversations about your children's safety way before they're going to university, I have to look at you and say, what you're doing? Because it's just like a normal piece of conversation. don't think I'm beating you up. I'm not. I'm just being insightful. Yeah, that's what people call me. Insightful. All right. I'm just saying you shouldn't. Some conversations you can only have when they're going away. But about security and your kids come from London. No, please. For any city that a child lives in, you should be having conversations about safety from primary school, secondary school, when they're young adults, when they think they're too grown. You're still going to have those conversations. So it's not something you should just be doing for this. It says here, parental contact. Agree and plan in advance how often you'll contact each other and which medium you'll use, such as weekly phone calls or WhatsApp every other day. Allow some flexibility and don't expect daily contact, so you won't get stressed if they oversleep and didn't check in. Yep, I agree. Do not send your child somewhere and think that it's okay to not be in contact with them. You know, it's nice to have a conversation with them about, well, how often. I basically said to my daughter, when you need me, I'm here, which is the truth. She calls me at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm picking it up and I'm talking to her, because if you're calling me at them times, there's something that you are dealing with that needs to be dealt with and can't be. It doesn't matter. I'm waking up. We're talking. But it's nice to let them know that you're still thinking of them and that you still want to keep in contact. And if it's a Tuesday night or a Wednesday night or whatever, then that's nice for them to have that level of security and assurance that you're going to keep in contact with them. All right. And just two more things they said was, they said biscuits. No, you heard me. I didn't stutter. They said biscuits. Take biscuits or cakes when dropping them off to create an instant talking point with other students and their parents. Number one, I'm sorry, I just think that's hilarious. I think just saying hello to another parent, how are you? And you're doing the same thing as me, aren't you? I know, we're in the same boat. That opens a conversation. Don't need biscuits. Just talk to people. Even social distance talk, yeah? Because when I went there, I actually didn't see any other parents, to be truthful, who were dropping their kids off. So, but if you do, I think social distance conversation. Hi, your daughter's or your son's coming to this university as well. How far was the distance for you? You know, something simple. Keep it simple. This cat is just going crazy. And then finally, out of their 10 points, they said coming home. Allow at least 4 weeks before they come home so they can meet people and don't miss out on early events that help them build connections that are key to feeling settled and part of the wider university community. Yes, I mean, you know, I think the whole point of being in that environment is to join different societies, make friends, connect with other people who some of them will never seen a black person or spoken to them before. They won't have them as their close friends, just like my kids. Well, my kids had everybody as friends, but, you know, the other way around is that some children may not have had English friends as their staple diet around. So, you know, encourage them to make steps. So before I run away, I was thinking of a few things that I would say. And I would just say, one, start early on all your preparation, cooking, cleaning, the shopping, the medicine kits. Start early. You shouldn't be having these conversations just because now they're going to university and you've got, what, maybe 6 weeks to try and get. It takes longer than that. And even when you start early, you're still reiterating things. Budget and money, as I say, schools don't teach them about budgeting, really. They teach them, but they don't teach them about the credit card and the APRs. They don't talk about, you know, gas, electricity, water, TV bill, and at university, everything's all inclusive. So one of the questions you want to be talking about is, what do you really want to spend your money on? I mean, my daughter in her first year at uni wanted to live, I felt it best for her to live in halls of residence rather than an individual flat. Because she likes her own company, so she wouldn't really make any friends. And I think by living in halls of residence, it forces you to at least have a conversation with somebody once or twice a day, maybe, all right? And the way in which it's situated, you can have six people living on one landing or three people living on a landing in self-contained rooms, and they may share the bathroom, toilet, and the kitchen. In some cases, they may just share the kitchen and have to work out how much cupboard space they can have, and everybody live happy. And you will fast find that everybody's been reared differently. And some people, cleanliness is next to godliness, as we say in my culture, which really means clean your stuff, right? If you use it, wash it, put it away, clean the surfaces. Some people, they don't know about that. And my children have found that out. I would say from my perspective, that when your kids do wanting to do their degree, help them to really research what the course is about and how it's going to be assessed. Some of our kids are very good at essays, some are not. Some universities do coursework, some do group work as part of assessment. You really need to encourage them to have done that piece of work before they go university, because once they're in, the university is not going to change their way of doing things to suit one or two individuals. You should have done your homework. So a lot of my work before my daughter was choosing or when she was going, we were talking about, well, what are they covering in the first year, the second year, the third year? And you'll find that on their website. What does that mean? If you don't understand, what research and find out what that means. Is that something you're interested in? You think you can do? The other thing would be to look at what the university itself offers as in addition to the degree, because as a student, they'll get student discounts, but where and how and will they get them, and where will get them, which local shops, what's the percentage, is it 20%, 25%, 10%, 5%, you know, get your kids thinking about, you know, the fact that they should get discount because they are student. You know, if they go to a shop and they've got their student ID, they get a discount off of things. So get them thinking about that. Also, look at how you might challenge university. For example, you know, if the university decide to do something and that's not what you're in agreement with, do you go to the student union and say, actually, how do I complain? And who, you know, I'm not the only student. There are other students who are probably feeling this way. How do we come together to voice our opinion? And that's important because, you know, at the end of the day, you will meet other students through the student union. And also you're not isolated. You've got more people around you who may feel the same or not. The other thing that's also some universities offer, you do lectures and you do seminars, and some of them offer you tutors. My daughter started 2 years ago. Her university were offering like one-to-one tutor, so that you would have your seminar with six or seven or eight other people and the lecturer. You would have your lecture with maybe 100 people in the room. But also there was an opportunity for you to be able to have some one-on-one time to talk to a tutor about whatever. Could be pastoral things about just university life generally or about the course. But my daughter said that they didn't do it. Well, when we read the literature, it said that they did. So I said, they've said it in the prospectus that you've applied for that they do. So they have to honour that, even if they've changed for the following year, they have to honour when you started. And she wrote to them and said, according to blah, blah, I'm entitled to a tutor. And you know what? She got one. And she's had one every year. Also, you know, the university will offer opportunities for students to get involved. As I said, with different societies, but there'll be other things that they offer. The student services will be able to tell you, you know, help with career. You might be able to get mentor. You might get counseling should you need it. And look, let's be real. You know, we do not know what the future holds. Mental well-being is a key thing, not just for us parents, but for our kids as well, whatever age they are, because we've all been through, 18 months of a level of fear and uncertainty. And some of us are still in that state of mind. And it does have impact and can cause depression and anxiety. Now, put on top of that more pressure of studying, meeting new people, and some people not following regulations, which is going to make some people completely go, they're not safe. And whereas others, you know, it's going to be something else. I would say also one of my tips is make sure home is always welcoming. Because, you know, sometimes we're so glad that they're gone, you know, you're getting on with your life. You can forget that actually home for them is maybe one of the safe places, their family. They're going to miss them. They want to get away from us, but also they're going to miss us. And I think it's important that they know that no matter what, they're always welcome home, even if it's unexpected. You're welcome. Yeah, there are some rules, you know, because, you know, now your room has been taken over by, or your room is now my office, or, it's just nice to know that you're welcomed back. I think it's really important, and this is, you know, a couple of things that I spoke to my daughters about. They have got what I consider to be culture capital. You know, people, you come from a different cultural perspective and a different lens, and your view is unique to you, but also it adds such flavor to what's being discussed or studied. And it's just as important as the dominant theory that's out there. So what I'm really saying is, if your child's got to university and they've been accepted, they got accepted because they had the grades, and they're there because they have the ability and the opportunity to study at that level. And there are going to be times where they're going to hear people come out with unbelievable stereotyped opinions, and I'm being polite, right? And I have to keep reminding my child that you have a valid and different point of view, and don't be afraid to express it. And you're not trying to convert them to your way of thinking. You're just adding a different layer of information so that it can be looked at so that whatever you're looking at can be looked at from a different perspective as well. I also said to her, you know, she was busy struggling. There were some students there, they've been privately educated and they have learned how to do the essays and dissertations or assignments. It's just comes, their way of structuring an argument comes naturally because they have been prepped from the moment that their parents knew that they were expecting them, and they went to prep school, then they went to private school, then they went to another prep school and another private school, and now they're at a university, but they've had the benefit of all that preparation. So it's easy for them to formulate arguments. And I said to my daughter, you need to find the people who are getting their firsts. You need to study, do a study group with them so that you learn from them, they learn from you. And hey presto, your overall, you'll lift, both of you will lift each other up. It isn't a case of you just saying your point of view and them sucking it all and then writing it in their dissertation. You've got to get something from that relationship as well. I just encourage them to, I would encourage your children to ask questions, because if they don't understand something, rather than sitting in that lack of understanding, ask a question. It doesn't matter if you think the question's stupid. you know, find somebody you can ask that question to and get your answer so that you're not feeling insecure and inadequate because you don't know. And I think that that's a role as a parent that you want to be able to do, is to help them to be brave enough to ask the questions, be brave enough to step forward, be brave enough to take the challenge. After all, they've been brave enough to want to go to university, and they're going to have challenges over the next few years as they navigate their way through some of the immaterial that they've got to do. So this was my yabba. I want to say thank you for listening. And as always, you know, if you've got any questions, you know, you can write those questions. I have a website now, which I should really visit more often, but sorry, I shouldn't have said that. But you know what? I'm just being real. It's www.parenttalkwithbev.com. And also, you know, I have an Instagram, which is Bev Parent Talk. And if you've got questions, you can just DM me in those there as well. You know, we're in this together. All of us parents, you know, we're navigating terrain that even if we had visited them, it's out of date. And some things are in date or still relevant, I should say. But I think love and support is relevant, and it only takes time and a bit of patience. And if you're not in that space like I wasn't, you know, you can step back, take a breather, talk to your friends, not in the earshot of the kids, and, you know, get it off your chest, get a different perspective and come and try again, because that's what parenting is really about. You know what I mean? And I say that in a whisper, but it's a life lesson. Yeah, we're going to get some things right. We're going to get some things wrong. But let's try and support each other while we're at it. So in order to wrap this up, I want to wish you and your family, I want them to be safe. I want you all to try and stay safe. And until next time, I am out.